Yeah, my name's James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, also known as your favorite esports podcast, the one and only, I think, don't fact check me, but I think we're the only true esports podcast, the only one you need to worry about. Episode 45 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 31st. Happy Halloween.
Scary.
The time, 8:50 on the dot. Your hosts, you'll have me, Tim, Keyshroom, whatever you want to call me. Co-host, co-captain, co-pilot. You have Brandon. Brandon, what's up?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Chilling. I'm chilling, man. Doing good. I do want to say, well, I'll get to this. Let me preview the show first, and then I have to get something off my chest to you and to the listeners. But we do have an amazing episode. And you know what? I wasn't sure before we came in today, but after the pre-show meeting, I'm like, this is the best episode we've ever done. 45 is definitely a put this one just in the record books. We have e-news that we're going to end the show with, as we always do, a compilation of stories that are right? Worth bringing up, just not worth discussing. We will talk a little bit of Hearthstone today. Hearthstone makes its rare appearance. They got their world championships going on, so we'll talk a little bit about Hearthstone. Kind of professional RNG in general. I'll do professional RNG. That's probably the best way to describe it. And we will start the show with some ESL Season 4. Counter-Strike had its one of its more premier tournaments, if you will, one of its staple leagues ending, so we will definitely talk about that. I did want to say one thing. Fair warning for the listeners, okay? The next couple of weeks, when I say that, I really mean like the next 2 months.
Like through the end of November, through the end
and
of...
And into December.
Yeah.
The episodes will be a little bit sporadic. I'm not going to lie to you. We are now within 30 days of my wedding date. So there's a lot that I need to do to get ready for that. So we thought we were like pretty much prepared. Like we were like, okay, you know, we got invites out, songs, whatever, picked, just not submitted. And then we were like, we can do all this once a month comes around. And now that we're within 30 days, you realize time really does go by pretty quickly. And so we're scrambling. People haven't responded yet. So lots of fun stuff. So we got the wedding. I have wedding stuff going. We're buying a house, maybe, if they ever get back to us. That's been a four-day process after we put the offer on. Interesting note, the past owner died on vacation. And it's around the street from where they found a body chopped up and caught on fire. But it's a lovely neighborhood.
A great neighborhood.
Great schools, man.
Told you, man. We're going to post some signs out on the street to drive the price down a little bit for you.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I have no problem doing that. Because you know why? Old people definitely don't mind paying more for homes. I will say this. And then you obviously just you throw in holidays, and it's a busy time in life. The end of the year is busy, and at the same time, it's also very busy for esports. So we will fit in the show. I promise we will fit in the show. But there might be some weeks where we're just going to have to take off because there's a lot of adulting going on here, okay? We're adults, and we have to be adults at some point in our lives.
I'm telling you, as soon as you buy that house and you get married and then you move in, you're going to be like, this happened. Somewhere along the lines, this has happened.
What has happened? But you know what? Oddly enough, when I get that, then I will actually have my own computer room for the first time in forever. Because in the apartment, you really don't have that luxury. Or living with the in-laws. In the in-laws, you have even less luxury. So, lots of adult going on. So I'm going to apologize straight up if we have an unannounced absence in episodes. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it together. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Join our Discord. We're active in it. I don't know about interesting, but we're active.
You will be talked to.
You will. We will acknowledge that you're there and say hi and stuff. And, you know, always check out the website, tcr.gg. Listen to out-of-date episodes, which seems to be really popular. Don't know why.
But, yeah, especially for a show that's like
old episodes
timely.
Keep getting new listeners, which is great. I love it. It's just a bit odd to me, considering, like, I missed two episodes of The Walking Dead, and I was out three seasons ago because I'm like, well, I 2 weeks
I'm behind.
I can't ever catch up on this show. How am I ever going to find the time?
You know, I actually sat down to watch. Totally off topic. Sat down to watch Walking Dead this weekend. And when I saw that there were six seasons of it, I was like, I'm just not going to start.
So it's on Netflix now.
Yeah. I could literally binge watch the whole thing. And I was like, I can't invest it. There's so much investment.
This is our show, so we can be off topic if we want. Deal with it. Fast forward a couple minutes to esports. But you want to know something I do, which is very, I think, very sinful, even in myself. Like, this is how you know I'm getting older and I have more things that in life. Like, I work on the radio. I produce a award-winning soccer show.
Is it really award-winning?
Well, it's the like only one in the area, so definitely number one. We are a Marconi station, so there's that. That's number one sports station in the country, thanks to me. So I have a lot of things to do, so I just can't watch shows. And like I said, if it's not on Netflix where I'm normally a season behind, or if it's not Pretty Little Liars and or Gilmore Girls, I don't care.
Yeah, you all heard that correctly.
Pretty Little Liars is my ish. I will watch that.
The two top shows he lists that he sits down for every week.
Well,
Pretty Little
Gilmore
Liars
Girls
and
is
Gilmore
done.
Girls.
It's coming back though on the day before my wedding. Gilmore Girls is coming back on Netflix. So,
you realize they're going to release the whole season at once.
No,
the day before your wedding.
Before the wedding. But no. So to get back to my sinful point. Shows that I have interest in but lost the time to watch, like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, things like that, I will straight up watch spoilers on YouTube. And I'm
just to get the main points.
Give me the meat. I don't need the lettuce and tomato.
You know, that's efficient.
Just I can tell you everything that's happened and everyone who's dead in every show. And I feel like I'm enjoying it just as much. Like,
that's awesome.
I hold off until I can just see, like, the spoiler highlights on YouTube. And even then, I'm like, damn, that really happened? And then I'm like, whew. Well, I just spent about 5 minutes, and you spent an entire week waiting. So, who's the real winner here? So, that's what I do. But young Tim would have been like, that's ridiculous. Like, why don't you just watch the show? And that's because I have responsibilities now, Brandon. Responsibilities like a podcast where we make no money doing. And damn it, we're going to talk some esports today. ESL. And this is another reason why you don't have time to watch shows. Because there's too much esports. Too much sports in general going on right now. You had the ESL Season 4 finals this last weekend. This is a long build-up tournament from the ESL season. Where we kind of previewed it our last episode, just in the general state of Counter-Strike, where, you know, a lot of teams made it. A lot of notable teams did not. Like, you did not have Na'Vi. You didn't have VP, right? A lot of notable teams did not make it on the... More notable teams did not make it on the EU side. No G2, which... Can you remember the last time you watched a G2 match? I was thinking
E-League.
About this tournament.
E-League finals of Season 1 where they beat out SK, I think, for the win.
I feel like they have not been nearly as relevant when... I mean, they were number 2 for a while. They were argumental number 1 And then,
yeah, I
just
mean,
feel like G2. I don't follow G2. Confession,
I've always kind of liked them.
I don't have updates sent to my phone.
But. I think the reason I liked them was they were kind of capable underdogs, I guess is the term I would use for it. But they beat SK, won E-League, and then had a really terrible showing, and then had two more really terrible showings after that, and have just like fallen off the map again.
Yeah, so they have not been performing well, so they didn't make the tournament, and then Fnatic ended up bailing due to personal problems right at the very end. So actually Group A played with only
five
teams compared to six on the NA side, or Group B, sorry, they did not split them up between EU and NA.
No.
So Group A had five, Group B had six teams. I wish for the sake of just continuity that Group A had six people. I think, and I understand why they couldn't invite anyone really quick, because it was very last minute Fnatic bailing, and it was in Brazil, which we'll touch on the crowd and kind of atmosphere there. I thought it would have been really cool though, and I feel like ESL missed an opportunity to do something neat, and that was just pick some scrub level Brazil team. Like throw together
some kind of invite team or whatever.
Either a quick invite or just say, we're going to do a quick online tournament. We're going to take the first four Brazil teams that sign up, or do something. I don't know. Make some Cinderella story.
I imagine you could have gotten another NA team there pretty quickly. I mean, USA's not that far.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person though on visa rules.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they would have to have a passport.
Right, exactly. And I have no idea how all that settles out when it comes to last minute things. So that's why I'm saying though, it would have been cool. It's in Brazil. They don't get a whole lot, but yet
Fallen knows some people that want to play. I mean, right. Fallen's got to have some other team. You know, he had the Immortals as a Games Academy there for a while. I think he's still doing Games Academy down there in Brazil. He surely could have found somebody to.
I don't know if maybe Keith's still around. Keatstar. I don't know. I felt like they could have done something. I understand why they didn't, just because it is what it is. But whatever. So getting to the actual play of it though. Overall, the groups to me were pretty garbage. They were pretty trash tier group stage, if you ask me. You had, like, in Group A, for instance, Mouse Sports ended up winning Group A, which at the end of the tournament, I guess prior you would have thought maybe that'd be an interesting group, but in retrospect, it's a trash tier group. You have Envious, Optic Gaming, Mouse Sports, Liquid, and Immortals. Who, keep in mind, Liquid was not even supposed to be in this tournament. The only reason Liquid showed up is because Renegades dropped out to go play in the Asian Minor, which, embarrassing note, did not even win the Asian Minor.
No.
So that awkward moment where you drop out of ESL Season 4 finals to go play in the Asian Minor, where you probably stand a better chance of winning, and it's in like your home area, only to have Tyloo beat you.
Tyloo beat them?
Tyloo beat Renegades in the Asian Minor.
That was your chance at major Renegades, and you failed.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, because you're right, because now Tyloo qualifies for that. I don't know if Renegades... So Renegades can't even qualify for... I mean,
there's
going to
be another last chance qualifier eventually. Some kind of other way to get in. Like there was last year, there was an invite tournament, I think, for a last chance qualifier. And there's no way they're not going to have the Renegades there. I mean, there are the quote-unquote premier Oceanic.
So they're the Detroit Renegades, man.
Yeah.
The Oceanic Detroit Renegades.
That makes a lot of sense.
Come on. So that ended up having Liquid being able to make the tournament, where Liquid, they did not perform well at all for the ESL Season 4, season play. And it carried over, and they just got destroyed. I mean, straight up.
One in three, minus 28 round differential.
And the only team they ended up beating was Immortals, which is the only team that finished below them in groups. And that's just because they tied for the most.
Well, the only reason they're lower is because Liquid beat them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Whoever would have won that would have been the difference maker. I read it on Reddit all the time where people are always like, well, Liquid's kind of hard to decide, right? Like, how Liquid's a tough team to judge. And even in Thorin's latest rankings, they were... Do you have that in front of you? What were they?
No, I closed it because I didn't want to look at them anymore. They're dumb.
But they were in his top 10 nonetheless, which is all you kind of have to know.
I think it was like 7 or 8.
And Liquid is a tough team to judge because they are ridiculously inconsistent if it's not a major. If it's a major, they're top 5 team for whatever reason. If it's a major, you can promise they're going to show up. In between, though, man, I don't know what they're supposed to do. I don't think JDM is really cutting it as an opera, as their kind of strong point. I have not been impressed with JDM since he left CLG. I don't know if that was just because he was inflated on CLG, right? Like, that could be a very big part of it, to where JDM on CLG was impressive because it was CLG. JDM on Liquid, though, I guess
I don't think
the standards were raised.
The standards were raised, but he's still the main offer. Like, you comment every time we watch a Liquid game and we watch JDM play, how often he misses easy shots, like shots that should happen every time, and
easy,
he misses them.
Easy and or important.
Yeah, and he seems very jittery when he's playing. Like, I think you made the comment one time that maybe he should lean forward because it's not working anymore. Like,
for as
easy going as he looks when he plays, he has the most jittery, like, twitch aim ever, and it's not working. It's just not connecting when it needs to. And you know who I feel worse, like, feel terrible for?
Pimp?
Allege.
Oh, Allege, okay. I feel bad for Pimp, because he can't ever catch a break.
Allege has been wrecking for the last several months. I mean, the dude is, what was he, like, 18, 19 now, maybe? I think he was 18 when we saw him at the major in Columbus. The guy's been, I mean, he's not flashy like Simple. I'm not going to say he's like as skilled as Simple is.
Well, you don't have the confidence in Allege either, like you do Simple.
For what Allege does for Team Liquid, it's frustrating that he's got these other players around him that are supposed to be good, looking at you, Hiko, right at you, and they're not doing their part to carry their weight on the... Oh, I did it. To carry their weight on the team.
Insensitive. I think you hit a good point with Hiko, and he's not like he's supposed to be their in-game leader, right? They don't have Peacemaker anymore as coach, so they dropped that, and now Hiko is again kind of the sole provider. He's almost like, you look to Hiko like he's almost should be like the team's dad. In the sense of...
He's
words
the vet.
He's the veteran. Words of encouragement. And obviously, I don't know what happens behind closed doors. But I just don't get that sense from Hiko that he is trying to rally the troops.
But I mean, if you look at the stats through the stuff that they had in group play, Hiko finished against Envious, finished negative 13, bottom of his team. Against Immortals, he finished negative 3. The only one they won, finished negative 3. Again, bottom of his team. Against Optic, you go down here and look at Hiko again. It's like he was minus 6, second best on his team. And I mean, this is a guy that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, one of the best riflers in the game, one of the most clutch players in the game. This isn't a guy that's entry fragging. He's not an entry fragger. He's supposed to be lurking, cleaning up kills. And the dude is going negative 13? Like, you're not doing your job. And I'm not going to... And, of course, people are going to harp on the IGL portion of it.
Saying that, well...
Well, he's in-game leading. Right.
I don't buy that, by the way.
I don't think...
I don't. In fact, looking here, Liquid was dead last in HLTV rating. Dead last. They were the worst team in the tournament.
And I feel like using that crux of he's IGL is giving him an out that he doesn't have to be at the level that he should be at. But much like Pronax and Fnatic back in early, you know, mid 2014, before they made the team change and kind of dropped Pronax, your in-game leader does have to at least keep pace with the rest of the team. Otherwise, he's literally just taking up a space from somebody that could kill a little more efficiently.
And I think every in-game leader can have its own, you know, like, there's a difference, in my opinion, with shot caller and in-game leader, right? Like, an in-game leader can just be kind of the captain of the team, right? The kind of the final say, but then you have shot callers where it's more of the hot minute strategy kind of guy.
Right.
Am I making, like, there is a difference.
Yeah, it's not something you hear about a lot in Counter-Strike, because...
And I know, like, in Counter-Strike, they have this almost, like, tunnel vision of, if you're the in-game leader, you decide everything. Yeah, and maybe that's one of the issues. Now, I agree with your crutch, though, of just because you're in-game leader does not mean that you can be any less efficient than the rest.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at in-game leading in Counter-Strike, what is it? You call the strat at the beginning, right? And then you call rotations, I guess. You call, like, if somebody drops, you call an alternative strat, like, you know, like a kind of a backup. You probably call when the execute needs to happen. And it's not like you're guiding all the other players 100% of the time, right? And it's not like you would see in Overwatch where you're having to call priority targets because it's these huge team fights. You're literally basically have people taking either a one-on-one or a two-on-one at separate parts of the map until, you know, it gets down to the final couple people. And that's why I've never thought that using that kind of crutch for in-game leading in Counter-Strike, I'm probably going to get wrecked on for being naive or whatever about in-game leading in Counter-Strike, but using that as a crutch to say you don't have to perform as well as everybody else kind of blows my mind. And in the same conversation, using that same kind of crutch for saying Fallen is one of the best players in the world because he does have a respectable kill-to-death ratio, and he's also the IGL and, you know, main opper, I don't think that should hold any weight in that conversation either. Anyway, I think that's a Team Liquid fan rant right
that's,
there.
That's your soapbox.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll get to my fanboy here in a second. Don't you worry. I actually don't have a rant this time, though. I think Team Liquid just needs to take a look at themselves and decide what direction they want to go. I think it's too early to make any roster change. You know what Team Liquid reminds me of right now? They remind me of how we talked about Cloud9 back earlier in the year. Where,
right.
Okay, you made all these roster changes. It's not working out the way everyone had hoped. Where do you draw that line in the sand of saying, okay, this is not working, or this is part of the plan, right? Adding JDM and Pimp and everything. How is that? Especially when you look at recent success for Liquid, where the majority of it this year involved Simple, right? You bring up the majors. Both of those were Simple. Those were not this roster. They were completely different moods and swings and events. They had a coach. They went through two coaches during that time in James and Peacemaker. So they're a completely different team than what they were at the start of the year, and I think that's why it's difficult to pinpoint what's wrong with Liquid, because I think it's a lot. I think it's roster changes. I think it's leadership. I think it's confidence. I don't think they have that swagger that they once had. And Cloud9 winning this thing probably doesn't help that, because they're the top NA teams and they know they get compared to each other.
Yeah, and there was a while there during those major runs, again, with Simple on the roster, Team Liquid roster, where Liquid was looked at as the de facto better NA team as well. And that was when CLG was kind of even pushing the conversation of the NA team rankings And that was with JDM still on their roster. But it's not exactly the same story anymore.
I mean, look at CLG. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're not even in conversations anymore.
Yes. I don't know. Liquid is very frustrating to watch, especially because they did have some okay results toward the beginning of adding Pimp onto the roster in place of Simple and kind of switching it around. But it hasn't continued, and it's so inconsistent. And I do wonder how much of a trend or how much of like this gets into your head as a player, like, oh man, we're never going to really succeed with this roster because we can't beat anyone except for Immortals, which was a close game for, 16-14 for Team Liquid, where they managed to get blown out by Optic. I mean,
I think it gets in their heads more than they probably care to admit.
I know. I get tilted when I play and I leave. I just stop playing. Yeah.
Well, especially you think if things don't go. I mean, the thing with Counter-Strike is that even if you go in with the full amount of confidence, the second one of your guys gets picked off super early in a game, like all of a sudden that starts creeping in. So, which I kind of want to use as my lead way to with Cloud9 and the finals with SK, because the in-betweens I don't think are nearly as important. So Cloud9 and SK make the finals, which they were the top teams going into it. I know for sure Cloud9 was number one by a mile in a...
Oh yeah, they wrecked going in the Pro League season four.
They had an amazing... I think they only lost a couple rounds or a couple games, however you want to look at it. And it was awesome. So they make it to the finals. Okay, SK makes it to the finals. I've had a lot of people, and throughout the whole thing, Sadakist and all of them kept saying, Cloud9 is stealing this. They stole the ESL Season 4 league from SK. They stole this trophy. And this might be my knee-jerk defense, being a Cloud9 fan, but they didn't steal anything. We need to look at this as what it is. And they were dominating during the season. This was Cloud9's league to lose. And even then, when you look that they were up on map one, going after the half on Overpass, it was 13-2, Cloud9. 13-2 going into the second half of Overpass, and Cloud9 could not put together anything. They lost in overtime on the first map, 19-17. And that's the only time SK was even into the finals. That was the only time. So I don't want to hear that. Well, and I know like we had some people in our Discord saying, well, this wasn't really like a top tier tournament, right? You didn't have VP. You didn't have Na'Vi in it. But you did. You did have VP and Na'Vi in this tournament. They just didn't make it to the playoffs. They were there. They were there during season play. They didn't qualify for the playoffs.
Yes.
And people think like, oh, this was the tournament. No, this was the playoffs. Like in any other sport, we call this a playoff.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why in esports we try to rename. Like you're trying to reinvent the wheel. No, you had a season. These were the playoffs. It starts with groups because everyone gets pushed into the same thing, and then it goes here. But this was the playoffs, and they didn't make it. That doesn't mean that this was any less of a finals.
Right.
They had their chance. Remember back when everyone said online play didn't matter, that only offline events count? No, the online play did matter, and it did count. And that's why they weren't there.
I would, just high-level overview of the stats. I could see where Sadakist was saying, making his point about Cloud9 stealing it. SK Gaming was much more dominant through group stage.
Well,
they both went 4-1.
And I will say, they both went 4-1, but SK did win Group B.
Yeah, and SK had a plus 33 round differential to Cloud9's 9. So SK did have a really good group stage.
They had a good group stage. But
if you were to just watch, even if you just watch the playoff bracket, and watch what Cloud9 did in the playoffs in the round of six. They beat Optic Gaming 2-0.
Swept Optic, swept
Mouse, you know, 2-0. And then when they played SK Gaming, and this might be a result of Cloud9 specifically preparing to play SK, because the performances they put in against SK were much more dominant than the performances they put in against any of the other teams in group.
They specifically said they picked Mirage because they studied SK playing Mirage, and they were that was their least consistent map. And like so we said earlier, SK beat Cloud9 on map one in Overpass 19-17. And everyone on that analyst desk said, who's gonna win it? And everybody said SK is gonna win it. The mental fortitude of Cloud9 is gone. They are shaken. They're not really good on offline events. They're done. And then Cloud9 ended up beating them 16-6 on Mirage. 16-6 on Mirage. And all of a sudden, these analysts, and again, Mo and all of them are saying, like, yep, it's totally Cloud9 now. And it's like,
I mean,
no one, and I get it, it's SK. You're obviously going to pick them, but.
You know what? At this point,
they took it to overtime.
At this point, with SK's, and again, this goes back to the offline online stuff. SK's been like a pretty big hot mess since Furs come back from his surgeries. I don't know. I would say that's affecting it, but I mean, looking at the kill death ratios for SK through the finals, and like I said, this kind of speaks to Cloud9's preparation for this tournament. Cold Zero was even at 61-61. Everyone else was below it.
I want to touch on their roster here in a second.
FNX minus 17, Fur minus 15, Fallen, the guy I mentioned of being a decent kill death ratio while being an in game leader, minus 15. I mean, the only guy on Cloud9 to even go negative was Skadoodle, and it was minus 1. And they've automatic. Holy crap, did automatic have a tournament?
MVP. He was the MVP of the tournament.
Three aces throughout the tournament against three different teams. I mean, you can just look at this and like you said, anyone that said Cloud9 stole this from SK, no. Cloud9 basically set SK down and said, this is ours. Like, you can't have it.
Apart from the epic comeback from SK, Cloud9 was in control the entire time.
I mean,
and you can tell it was because they studied and they knew exactly what to call.
And if you look at the third map at Dust 2, how often do you see a Dust 2 score? I mean, these pros have been playing Dust 2 since like 1.3. This map has not changed. 16-5 on Dust 2 for Cloud9.
Well, it was
five rounds.
They had 12. That's 13 rounds on T
side. That's incredibly dominant.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
they couldn't even on Dust 2, Cloud9. They moved in on the A site. And when I say moved in, I mean they built a house and just sat every round. Rush A, SK could not overtake it. There were some names just looking at the SK roster, and all throughout this, like they had a 13 T side on Dust 2, and I was still in the back of my mind thinking, this is not over. Like, if there's one team that can do it, it's SK. A, they just did it two maps ago. And B, we've seen them do it against Team Liquid in person in Columbus. So if there's any team that can come back, the SK roster still, for pound to pound, and this is, and I'm talking from the perspective of after this tournament, SK is still pound to pound the one roster that still scares me with whoever is alive. Like, they were like Cold Zero. I still see the 4K jump scout
on Team Liquid.
The 4K op.
The ultimate tilt.
Yes, on Mirage. Every time I see that, it's him. That's all I can think about. And I'm like, this is going to happen to Cloud9. And this is what's going to lose it. But if you just look at their HLTV ratings, one name that I did not hear really at all during the finals was FNX. He had zero impact on the finals. He had the lowest HLTV ratings of a solid one. Fair had a 1.01. Okay. Fallen 1.03, Taco 1.05. So, I mean, they were all very close. But at least, like, you saw Taco and Fallen make some big impact kills. Fallen had ridiculous clutch op shots that I think he was assisted by it being a video game and broken-ass hitboxes. I swear to God, if you slow him down half the time, it's no. I'm not going to complain because I understand that's what it is, but it is what it is. But FNX, dude, you didn't hear his name at all. He had zero impact, and I know being part of an entry fragger, that's kind of your job is to die, right? Like, do damage, but then move on. He really had zero impact, though, in the finals. Zero. Still, though, like I said, Cold Zera still terrifies me because that dude is so clutch and so good.
And you know, I remember, I think just before the tournament starting, when SK was kind of struggling for a while, there was a post on Reddit about some kind of personal drama or something that they were all going through or that Cold Zera.
Who posted? Wasn't it Fallen? Did he post something about...
I think it was Cold Zero is like was going it? Through some kind of breakup or something.
Of course.
And was going like, you know, and they're not in Brazil and whatever. But then Cold Zero is the only one that shows up for the tournament. I mean, there's really no excuse for the rest of this team to kind of falling off the... I would venture to say maybe they should just go back to Brazil and boot camp the way they used to instead of traveling Europe to do it.
No, they were...
I mean, if you want to stay at the top.
Yeah. They were
or if you just want to travel, if you want to travel the world playing Counter-Strike, which totally cool. Do not judge anyone for that. I think that's awesome. I'm incredibly envious of it, actually. Keep doing what you're doing and fall down Thorin's top 10 rankings. Unusually slow, but still fall down the rankings.
Yeah, they were just outplayed. I mean, no real other way to put it. Overall, the tournament was pretty good. I know you complained about being able to hear the Brazilian broadcasters in the background.
I have another thing I want to complain about, but...
That it's whatever. It wasn't nearly as bad as some of these other tournaments because they had the American broadcasters there. I was worried about the crowd going in. I won't even lie. Just from experience, Brazilian fans were very obnoxious in Columbus. They're very obnoxious in international soccer. I thought it was a pretty good crowd, though. Good to see that the dab has no border, right? That's very international.
Oh,
it's a very international move.
You know what's funny is every time somebody posts a GIF of one of the pro teams dabbing, someone in there asks what it is, and it's literally a comment trail of like 7,000 comments talking about how stupid the dab is. And for some reason, people are still doing it.
Everyone does it. Everyone does it. It needs to go away.
Cam Newton retired it. You can retire. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Because he realized what he was. He did something wrong, and that was unleashing onto the world.
Yeah.
So, but overall, I thought the crowd was awesome. I know they booed Freiburg. Did you hear about this?
No, why?
Okay. Apparently, he did like some taunting gesture, and then he got wrecked, and so they booed or something like that, right? So they booed him. And I guess people were saying how disrespectful.
Was it Fallen? Did Fallen tweet it?
No, it wasn't him.
Is that just a normal Brazilian line? Is that just...
Yeah, no, people were just saying that, you know, how could they boo? That's disrespectful.
Oh, they were saying the fans were being disrespectful.
Yeah, they were saying that the fans were being disrespectful. People on Reddit and everything. Personally, for me, I have no problem with fans booing other... If it's not your team, boo away.
I mean, it just going to hockey because that's the major sport that we both watch on a very routine basis or go to games. There's players on every team that everybody boos.
Yeah, I'm like, well, first off, why are we upset that someone's trying to
talk
to me?
You know what's crazy?
Do you not realize what we all do? We all play video games.
I was going to say, you know what's crazy is you can go into any kind of pub or pug game or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And it's just people talking crap all the time, but you boo a pro player and suddenly we need to be respectful.
Like, you need to respect him.
Like, what?
He is Freiburg. Do you not know who that man is? I'm like, nah, dude. You're playing the Brazilian team? You should get, you know, in reasonable bounds, right? We don't need to throw anything or say anything racy, but booing? Go for it. Now, that being said, to cover my own ass and possibly being called a hypocrite in the future, there is a line. Like, you know, let's not berate them. They are humans after all.
But a little heckling when they come out on the stage isn't bad, right?
No. And at the same time, you don't have to be friends with the people booing. Like that's how rivalries are made. Like, for instance, like we play beer league hockey, and there are some people who will run their mouths during a game and then afterwards come say hi to you at the bar. And I'm still like, no, dude. Like,
you're dumb.
Yeah, like you're like, kind of an ass.
This didn't just end.
You just told me 5 minutes ago on the ice that my mother was a whore, and now but it's like, oh, leave it on the ice. Like, no. So I want to see rival. In fact, the fans, because and afterwards when Nip was eliminated, everyone clapped and was like, hey, yeah, and that's where everyone was like, hey, see, they clapped. We shouldn't be mad. No, I want fuel the hatred, Nip fans. Don't give in to this. Oh, they clapped once we were eliminated. You were eliminated. That's why they clapped. I don't know. It's a mixed bag of emotions. Like, yes, I think booing is fine, but at the same time, for the sake of creating rivalries and a fan base, you shouldn't. I don't know. Everyone's so happy for people in esports. It annoys me. Just be. That's like when Fnatic was eliminating Columbus and we all were chanting the hey, hey, bye, bye song.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. Because at the time, Fnatic was the most hated team.
I just don't get the whole esports. It's like there's some kind of imaginary line where until your team crosses that imaginary line, you're open game for just any kind of harsh criticism that anyone can throw at you. But as soon as you cross that line of like fandom, all of a sudden, no one can say anything about you without.
Don't do that.
Yeah, and I mean that's not just teams. That goes for YouTube personalities in esports. That goes for casters and analysts in
esports.
You
just don't argue with them.
You
anything
just don't
they
because
say
anything
is...
you say that is in disagreement with the people on the right side of the line pushes you further to the
I
left.
I would love for people to disagree with me and try to. I mean, I have no issue having a conversation in Discord about my points. Just like I, you know, people were saying how, well, this wasn't a premier tournament. How, so because Cloud9 won it, it's not a premier tournament. But if SK won, oh my God.
It's another notch in the belt.
It's another notch in the belt. They won in Brazil. The Brazilian teams win at home. And it's this crazy story.
Yep.
But because Cloud9 won, it didn't have top teams. I'm sorry. Did we just not say SK? Was SK not in the playoffs like everyone else? It's a slippery slope, as we call it. Slippery slope. Speaking of slippery slopes, Hearthstone and esports. We don't talk about it a whole lot on the show because it generally focuses on RNG elements. But the World Championship's going on. Brandon, and you watched a little bit, but you kind of had a direction you wanted to take this.
Right, so... for those that don't know, Blizzard decided this for the World Championship. What you could do is they started this contest where you could pick your champion, or basically pick one of the professional players that are playing in Hearthstone. And for each match that they won, not each round or each game, but each match that they won, you would get a free pack. So that, in amazing marketing fashion, motivated me to pay a little bit more attention to the games. And I picked Tice, who's a player for G2, talking about G2 earlier, and he got eliminated out of groups. He did not win a single match. He went 0-2. Tice was the favorite to win the entire thing based on previous performances and win percentages and statistics and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But what was most interesting was watching Tice lose these matches. I mean, he was obviously invested in it. But you could just see with every bit of bad luck, the more and more like frustrated and sad he got, to the point where he was playing Handsome Guy, playing on his Zoo Warlock against Handsome Guy's Rogue. And you could just watch every card that was drawn that didn't help Tice just kind of killed his soul a little bit. And that's where I've like developed this issue for Hearthstone esports. This there's a lot of money on the line. I mean, statistically speaking, I don't remember the exact number, but I know for every esport that's been out, Hearthstone has had the most unique number of winners, as in most unique number of first place finishes.
It's, I mean, it's a card game. I mean, the RNG elements is they're
and it's
unreal.
And it's not even just RNG elements inside of the cards. I mean, card games in general are RNG because of deck draws. Like you could not draw the card you need at the time you need it, right? And the other person could. The thing that like kind of frustrates me with watching Hearthstone is that the deck drawing portion is there, but there's also a significant amount of it built into the cards.
That's my thing, is that so not only do I need to get lucky with drawing of the cards, like believing in the heart of the cards, you got to do that. And then...
Sick reference, bro.
Reference game on point, dog. And then... So you get this card that you've been waiting all game for. And then that card has some crazy ass RNG element of kill one random minion. And then you have to hope that you kill the one minion that you need dead. And if not,
it's game over.
Everything's out the window.
And I mean, it's frustrating to watch because I mean, you get invested into it too. You're cheering for your guy or whatever. And then you see something like one card that is used in just about every single deck that I saw this weekend is Ragnaros Firelord. And the effect of it is it can't attack. It's an 8/8 minion that can't attack. And at the end of your turn, you do 8 damage to a random enemy character. So that could be the other hero or it could be any of the cards. And like you could just, the casters are like, as soon as that end turn button hits, the casters get amped up like it's about to be like a 2v3 or 1v3 clutch in Counter-Strike to see who Ragnaros
hits.
But
it's completely random.
The highlight of this match is a completely random element inside of the game. Now, I understand what people say about this and complaining about this is you have to play percentages, and the way you win Hearthstone
right.
is to increase your chances as much as possible.
Look at Magic the Gathering. That card game has been around for years, and I understand the appeal.
Yeah.
I just can't get as hyped when it's like, man.
Well, even Magic has... I mean, Magic does have the same kind of card draw issue, but I think Magic's cards are much more... targeted effect and less of an RNG element. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I haven't touched a deck of Magic cards in like years, but it always seemed to me like effects had very specific effects that have applied in very specific manners. Whereas, I mean, there's literally a card introduced. We were talking about it in the pre-show meeting by Blizzard that was recently nerfed. I mean, the entire card is RNG. You play it, it casts a random spell for the number of spells you cast during the game. Literally RNG. You drop this and it does something completely random, completely out of your control.
And the only reason it's exciting is because to me, the RNG element almost makes it funny in the sense of like, what awful luck or what amazing luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's like watching a game show.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting hyped. Like you said, those casters will get hyped like he totally meant to go faced 4 turns in a row with Ragnaros that does 8 damage. And it's just I mean,
and I also get frustrated.
It's hard for me to pat him on the back.
I also get frustrated with Hearthstone because the meta in Hearthstone is very clearly defined in every expansion and every rotation. And the biggest thing that you'll see is tech cards where... pro players will drop like one or two cards to add one or two other cards that would be good against the cards that are the decks that are already in the meta. I mean, it's so clearly defined inside of Hearthstone that you're playing what they call net decks or top meta professional decks at like rank 18.
Well, see, so this is my issue with playing it. I used to be really into Hearthstone. Like really into it. I watched all the matches. I made my own decks. I was really into it. And then they did it to where now you're not allowed to use like older cards.
They rotate.
And, yeah, they rotate between what decks you can use to make yours. What set of cards you can use. Expansion pack, if you will. And now it's just like, it's like you said, I mean, I used to be, my highest rank I think I got to like was 4. I was pretty good. And then now though, even like you said, even playing these lower ranked ones, it's just these cookie cutter top meta decks. And I'm like, I should not be playing this pro deck at this level where, and I'm guilty of it too. Like we're all low levels and yet we're using the same thing that the pros are. And it's just kind of luck of the draw. Literally luck of the draw. So I don't know. I like it. It's difficult for me to get into it because of the RNG element. It's skills with quotation marks around it. And I'm sure there are people disagreeing with me, but there's a reason why being a back-to-back champion is so hard in that game. And it's because so much of it is out of your control. So much of it's out of your hand.
If you would like to debate that point, please feel free to join the Discord at any time.
You got to message me on Twitter. I don't know how to get to Discord. Hit us up on Twitter at the Center Ring and join us on Discord. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not because it's RNG. So go ahead and try to argue.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Argue a random number generator to me. Go ahead. Go ahead. But let's move on to e-news because I have some things I want to get to. First thing is kind of irrelevance. Machine, my bae, is no longer under contract with ESL. I bring this up only for a few reasons, and it's because we've always talked about how the casters for these sports are kind of like in their own little club where you have Room on Fire, you have Drop the Bomb, which is the two main parties of CSGO casters, and they're more or less like agent groups. Right, they're like agencies now for talent.
It's about Room on Fire. Everyone said that's where he's going.
You know me.
But
I'm a fan of the bigger man. I like corporate buying out people. I don't like entrepreneurship. It's just how I'm wired. I'm sorry. I wish ESL kept Machine around, much like Fox Sports pays their boys. You know, Fox has Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You don't see them on other things. Now, I understand from Machine's aspect, hey, he wants to go where the money, he wants to do other things other than ESL, but it does suck that we won't see maybe as much Machine.
I think you'll actually see him more because he's going to be able to do stuff outside of the ESL events.
Yes, but he did every ESL event.
Like
I
bet you.
He did CSGO.
Yeah, well, I imagine you're going to see him doing a lot more of Overwatch now because Anders and Simler seem to be kind of taking on that role too. And if you ask me, I'd put Machine in the same ballpark as far as Desk Coast goes as you would Anders and Simler's casters.
Definitely.
I mean, you've
Scoots.
Got Richard
Scoots,
Lewis and
which,
Scoots.
By the way, Scoots has been out of the game for a while. Maybe the major. Columbus? Maybe? But he did the Asian Minor. Pretty good. I forgot how good Scoots is. So Scoots, Machine, and Richard Lewis would really be the ones. But now that you're taking him out of ESL, I don't really care, to be honest. It doesn't affect my life at all. And that's why it's in e-news. What else do you have?
Actually, along that same thread, Maceo also worked for ESL, released a tweet longer about him leaving. In his tweet longer, he said he was given a fantastic offer, blah, 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 built a new interesting project, da, 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 opportunity to work with some very like-minded individuals and build and grow something new together. Also probably going to Room on Fire. They're kind of gathering all of the major caster talent in the scene. Upside, if they raise their prices, there will be windows for new casters probably hired by ESL here pretty soon. So
this is true, making room for talent, because clearly ESL likes to have in-house people. One other thing, Dot Esports bought out by Gamers with a U because it can't be esports if it's spelt correctly. I know there was a while there where people, the rumor was that the Dot was just going to get rid of their esports division. Well, apparently they're selling up now. again, doesn't affect anything. It's like you said, it's interesting that gamers, I don't know who they're funded by. You mentioned it in the pre-show that you would love to find out because it's just ridiculous fast they're
growing.
Esports
Observer, I mean, you guys like to do like Alpha Ferg, you guys like to do these kind of stories. Find out who gamers is being funded by because they've kind of, they came out of nowhere, hired a bunch of really like top in writing talent. I mean, that's where Thorin's rankings go and he releases articles on that website. And then all of a sudden acquires Daily.esports, which was arguably, like I said, arguably the biggest editorial, esports editorial website out of the blue. Like, who's pumping money into that website and why?
And how do we get involved? So
more importantly, could you send them our way?
And speaking of pumping money, Blizzard announced last week that they are going to commit $3.2 million in player compensation for the Heroes of the Storm Pro League. $3.2 million. Milkfat, the esports rep for Heroes of the Storm, whatever his official title is, tweeted out that the Pro League teams competing from January to November will earn at least $100,000 apiece. How? Why? It makes no sense. I mean, are they really just... is this a power move to get people to switch?
Because I mean, Heroes of the Storm, you said everyone is going to make at least 100K?
Mm-hmm. Everyone that competes from January to November will at least get 100K, which is more than...
I imagine it's a ploy to grab some League of Legends pros because, you know, my understanding is that they don't make a whole lot of prize money over there.
And that's what I'm saying. So here it's actually this article says League of Legends paid $12,500 per player per split in 2016. HOTS will be split five ways, which will come out to $20,000 per player for all of 2017. So I mean, you almost doubled per player prize money in a single announcement. Like that's got to be a power move to try to draw some of these. Like you said, probably not top teams in League or Dota and be moving over to HOTS, which I completely have written off. And that was a game that we played a lot.
Well, once Overwatch came out, we kind of just pushed that to the side.
Which, you know.
Which, hey, you know what? I do still follow the game on Reddit and I follow some of the esports of it. And I can tell you, nothing has really changed. Every time they release a new character, he's super OP'd for about a month, and then they nerf him into where he should have been when he was first released, he or she. And I don't imagine that's going to change anytime soon.
I can't. I mean, it's Blizzard. The Blizzard is the only reason that game is still there.
Yeah.
Much like people claim with Overwatch, but I don't think that's... I think Overwatch is popular enough. I would not put Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm together in the same pool, but we'll see. That's gonna be crazy, dude. 3.2 million, 100,000 per team. Blizzard, you got money. I guess you gotta spend it somehow. And you chose Heroes of the Storm. Interesting. Interesting stuff. What's also interesting is that episode 45 of The Center Ring is concluding. I thank you so much for listening. We enjoyed doing it. I hope you enjoyed listening. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can personally follow me at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at Brand Any New. Hit up our website, tcr.gg. You can contact us personally from there as well, from a little email contact. The preferred method, though, remember, is always Discord. Join us on Discord. We love conversing. We love discussing our points and just overall goofing around. It's a good time, I promise. If not, you can get your money back. Anyways, that's it. Episode 45 is in the books. Like I said, just keep an eye on Twitter for episode news. Things are going to get crazy the closer we get to my wedding. And especially if we get a house. That being said, if I get a house, we could pump out episodes every night. I don't have to drive up to downtown. But I bid you all adieu. Thank you again so much for listening. Episode 45 of TCR is in the books. We will be back when we are back. Until then, keep it easy.